Welcome to Sense for Dance. This episode is going to be in English. We will just do a quick introduction in Danish.
Hej Anne-Sophie.
Hej Patricia.
Så er vi tilbage i studiet.
Og jeg har glædet mig så meget til lige præcis den her samtale.
Ja, det har jeg også. Vores tema jo i de her podcast er jo kroppen. Og det er specielt ved den her udgave her, det er jo, at vi har to kvindelige kunstnere med. Og vi snakker jo om graviditet og hvad graviditeten gør ved ens instrument.
Ja, og ens arbejdsredskab. Hvordan er det, når man arbejder med sin krop hele tiden, og lige pludselig sker der den her kæmpe forandring?
Ja.
Og som kunstner arbejder man jo også med kreativitet og sin egen personlighed, og samtidig har man den her kæmpe livsomvæltning, som det jo er at blive forældre. Ja. Hvordan dealer man med det?
Og der har vi Merete Hersvik, som er norsk. Hun er danser her hos Dansk Danseteater og har været hos os siden 2016. Hun har fået sin uddannelse fra Kunsthøjskolen i Oslo, og har blandt andet danset med Carte Blanche, og med Ine Chris Johansen, Markus Marau, Sharon Yael. Det er bare for at nævne nogen, hun har danset med. Hun har altså danset på hele jordkloden, kan man sige, ikke? Inden hun kom her. Så en total superstjerne.
Ja. Og så har vi Nanna Øland Fabricius, som også er kendt som Oland, som er komponist og popmusiker, som bliver spillet i radioen og også turneret hele verden med sine hits, som også har dansebaggrund, og også har været med i nogle lidt anderledes type projekter. Så for eksempel var hun med i samarbejde med os i Bertolt Brecht operan De Syv Dødsønder, som spillede her i operan i 2022. Og så er hun også lige nu aktuel i både X-Factor, men også et projekt ud på Statens Museum for Kunst i forbindelse med deres Kette Kolvits udstilling, hvor hun står på scenen sammen med to dansere her fra kompagniet, Lukas Hartvig Møller og Jessica Lyle. Det hedder Krigens Ofre, og man kan faktisk nå at sikre sig billet den 22. og 24. januar 2025, der spiller den.
Gør det.
Og de to dejlige kvinder, de deler ud af deres personlige historier om at arbejde med krop på den her måde.
Skal vi dykke ned i samtalen?
Det er det, vi skal.
Det gør vi.
Welcome, Merete and Nanna, to our studio here in the basement at the opera.
Yeah, thank I'm you. Really excited thank about you. This one. Because we're all mums. Mums. And mumsies. I love it.
All mumsies.
Yeah, mumsies.
Today we invited both of you here because we're, of course, talking about pregnancy and children and in relation to dance and being on stage. And Merete, you've been with the company since 2016, for a while, actually. And Nanna, you of course work as a solo artist, but you also engage in many different projects. And among other things, you've also been involved with us and been performing with us.
Yeah.
So it's great to talk about, so we can talk about this subject a bit from a collegial perspective.
Absolutely.
And just for our listeners, I think we're also that interesting to dive into about the children part. How many and how old, Nanna?
I have two so far. One 4 year, two boys. One 4 years and one 8 years.
Well, I have one that's out of the womb, that's 6 years old, and then one that's still in there.
She might come.
He might come.
She might come now, while we're talking.
Now.
Yeah. And Sophie?
And I have a daughter who is 10 months.
And I have a teenager, which is 16 years.
And also, Patricia, when you had your daughter, where were you in your career?
I was actually doing a very nice, starting a project, which was with Open Dance, and it was a baby performance. And then I got pregnant while we were rehearsing. I said, okay, I'm pregnant, what should we do? It's perfect. So I was dancing with the belly until 8 months, and then I went.
8 months belly.
8 months belly.
Oh my God!
I was heavy.
How old were you?
I was 37.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was okay. That was enough. It was though it was a children's performance. It was very physical. Yeah. Sorry, you know when you lose your body, all this blood and I couldn't breathe and it was good.
That sounds good. Could you jump without peeing?
Actually, I could, but afterwards, let's not talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. That's another podcast.
That's another podcast. No, wow. Yeah, so. Mm.
That's impressive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Marietta, maybe we should ask you, where were you in your career, both with your oldest child and now when you...
I mean, two very different experiences, I would say. First time I was 29 and I was not aware of what maybe was happening to my body so much. Very focused on my career still. And it, I was on stage until about 6 months. Mm. And that felt great.
That was also so impressive.
Yeah, no, but I didn't think about that there was an alternative even, I think, at that time. This time around, I've had pain since 2.5 months and tear in my belly muscles and pelvic pain and just very different experience. So okay. I've been on sick leave for quite some time already. Mm, so okay. Two very different experiences.
Mm. As a dancer, is there like a certain... like week you have to stop performing and like when you're in a company or can you decide yourself?
Yeah, it's basically what if you're already in, when Marietta went on sick leave, we were already almost done with the piece and the performances were left. They said, okay, let's give it a go. And it was not a heavy, you take into consideration, okay, it's a heavy performance. Is it much up and down? Is there lifts, you know, all these things. Mm-hmm. You do a little calculation on the situation, what the piece is, and then of course the dancer says, okay, are you fine? Do you want to do it? And then, you know, you have a conversation. But of course, if it's like up and down and you get lifted and suddenly you're like thrown in the air and like, maybe not. Yeah. And maybe you don't feel like so. I don't feel like that. So it's a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think maybe in bigger companies like the ballet, maybe they have a different... framework than we do, but for us, I went on Basel, I think about 4 weeks before the first time, but then I was doing more administrative work towards the end. But
were you happy dancing like the first time around?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
Mm.
Yeah, I also like somehow because I was working out so much that my belly didn't really come out until 5-ish months maybe.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, a full-on work. So, but until then, all of a sudden, I could feel my costumes weren't fitting anymore. And then it went very fast.
How about the balance point?
Oh, yeah. Also interesting. Yes, the changes earlier than you would like it to.
And Nana asking all these questions because she's also a dancer. But Nana, how was it for you? Yes, yes. How was it for you with the first pregnancy?
It kind of came perfectly, but also completely inconveniently.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was touring the world at that point. Mm-hmm. I was really just on constant tour and I had a year of shows just lined up. And in the beginning, I didn't know I was pregnant and I was on the road. I remember I was in Paris and I just played a show and... I woke up in the middle of the night, like around 3 a.m., and just wanted crisps so bad.
That sounds like a movie scene.
And I actually went up, like we were at some shitty hotel, and I went up in the middle of the night with my key card and just like t-shirt and, you know, I was sleeping. And walked, like took the elevator down to the lobby where there was like one of those, like where you can pull snacks. And just like pulled 3 snacks and just ate them super quick, went up and slept again.
Okay.
And the next day I was like, what was that? And then I realized I was pregnant. And I was, I just turned 30. That was completely life changing for me on a mental level, but on a physical level, it didn't change a thing.
Mm-mm.
Like, I was doing, like, I was like, why wouldn't I be able to do all the things that I've planned? Like, I've done worse. I've been really sick and performing.
Yes.
I just didn't even question that it was something that, of course, I could do. And I think I did my last show in late November. And I gave birth in February.
There you go.
So, yeah. So I was also very...
big in the end.
Mm.
Yeah. And you knew that that was the end that was planned, or anyway?
Yeah, I knew that that was the last show of the tour. I remember it as being like very end of November or like start December. And of course, I was big when I see pictures now. It looks really funny because I'm jumping around as if nothing happened. And I also remembered, because we were playing maybe like 5 shows a week, like that whole fall. And I remember like getting these routines with like when the baby kicked. And he was so used to me like being on stage and jumping around that he would get really like quieted down by like me moving a lot and standing on top of the sup on stage. That was his favorite thing. And when I went off stage, he would just kick so much, like almost I felt adrenaline like he was rush. Like, yeah, he was like, go back there. Like, why aren't you like keep doing that thing? It's very cute.
And I'm so impressive also with that with your singing, because singing is also so physical. And I have had some singing training myself, but I really thought, I'm so glad that I chose a different career path, because I was like, I was physically, I was fine and moving, but singing, I was so hard to hard time catching my breath.
Yeah, that's like a little bit of a challenge, because, you know, everything just gets pushed up so much in the end that it's hard to sing long notes.
Yeah, because I've been thinking about that with, like, I can feel that now in my pregnancy, walking up the stairs, and my lung capacity is like down. Like, how is that with singing? I mean, that must be so challenging.
I think the first time I was pregnant, I didn't even like, I didn't think a lot about things being hard or challenging, because I was just so like busy keeping doing what I've been doing, like that I didn't even like, it was almost like this was just happening in a parallel universe, and then once in a while I was like, oh yeah, maybe that's because I'm pregnant. But I didn't really give it much thought, I think the second time around that was a different story.
Let's hear that.
Yeah, why was that
it was just
different?
Way more challenging, like physically. I was just so tired. I was really nauseous. You know, I also had a kid already, so I was tired. Like, I just had come out of like not sleeping for some years. And my body was just, you know, already been stretched out. So there's just like another wear and tear. So I think the second time around was surprisingly difficult compared to the first time just being like easy breezy.
I can definitely relate.
Second time around, coming back to your body and your instrument, which is your body and your voice, right? How is that coming back? What how do you exercise? How, just for interest, I have no, with the singer, I don't know.
Well, the first time I had a baby, I was I had very little maternity leave. I think I had like 3 months before I played my first show. And I definitely wasn't ready for that. Like physically, I was okay ready for it. But like mentally, I was just not there at all. Like I remember sitting backstage before I had to go on stage and just felt like I was fooling everyone. Like I just felt like, how can I walk on stage right now? I don't even know who I am. Like I'm just who am I? Like it was just such a crazy thing to go on stage and feel powerful and in charge, and like someone who should inspire others. Like I was just like so tired and so worn out. So that was that really took me like mentally quite some time the first time around, and that was different the second time around. I was way more like, because I was already in the mode the second time. I knew what I was going into. I knew like all the emotions, all the baggage that comes with it. So I was way more ready mentally to just, you know, go into this.
And maybe also more grounded in the new you.
Yeah, exactly. Like it wasn't like a life change, like it wasn't like a life changing experience. It was just like another amazing human being that came into my world. But the first time was life changing, of course.
Of course, yeah.
So the second time around, I started working 4 weeks after I gave birth. Mm-hmm. And did like full on 12-hour audition days for X Factor.
Shit.
That was intense.
That was very intense. But it's not also like it's a long day. It's also you have to be focused on people who are in front of you. And you want to be fair to them as well. And, you know, give them the right feedback. Whatever you do in, you know, in doing the job. Exactly. That's tough.
But I was sitting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a big help. Yeah. And also I had like, we always shot like maybe 1.5-2 hours at a time, and then there was a break, and that actually ended up being perfect timing with, like, you know, breastfeeding, baby diaper changing, you know, that whole,
and then nap time while you were back shooting.
Exactly. And he was just sleeping the whole time I was shooting, then coming back to him and just doing all the stuff, and then he would be you know, awake for 20 minutes, and then he would be out. Yeah. So it was it was like pretty perfect.
That's nice.
Wow.
You, Merete, coming back to Dance Body.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after it's going to be probably a different story this time, which I don't know yet. But I think the first time, I took 10 months before I was back, which I think was really great. And when I came back, I knew it was about 4 weeks of work before summer holidays. So it was... It was really a good timing, I think.
So you also had the 10 months of full break. You didn't come back and do some administrative.
No. I mean, I was, of course, doing yoga and Pilates and these things that I would just normally do. Running a bit, and, you know, you walk a lot with a stroller. So I feel like... but I feel the body kind of healed itself when I let it rest. I was really not kind of... obsessing about getting back into, you know, shape or whatever they call it. I was really being gentle towards my body. And I think that also is helpful sometimes, not to be like, you know, running after. I want to be exactly how I was before giving birth, because something has changed and you just have to kind of work around it.
I think that's almost the most important, to be patient with your body and like acknowledge what you've just actually done.
Yeah, because
it's also what you say there, like physical shape is physical shape, and, you know, dance shape is dance shape, and whatever shape you have to be in to do the work that you do. But in this company particularly, then we do a lot of improv to tap into that. How long did it take for that to open again? Because closed
the
so
mental
fast.
The mental part, I think, is the thing that's hardest for sure. Like your brain is always somewhere else, and especially when you, as a new mom, having this child in daycare or at private daycare, or like it's like half your brain is with your child all the time, and the other half is at work, and you try to find this sort of balance ish, but you're always a bit like half.
Yeah, half away, phone on.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not really getting back to work, as it were. You're getting back into work as a new person.
Absolutely.
And as an artist, you use so much of yourself.
Yeah.
So that must be quite a process.
Oh, for sure.
So much easier for someone like me. I can get back to my administrative tasks more or less in the same way.
Yeah. But I do feel like it was, like for me, it was a, you know, it was a hidden treasure that I didn't expect with all that like scheduling coming into my life, because I had, you know, I'm not in a company, I'm self-employed, so I can decide pretty much most of my days. Like obviously I get assigned to different you know, work-related stuff, but I mostly decide what I want to do when. And that is not always, you know, 9 to 4 or like 9 to 5, you know. So for me to suddenly kind of like being forced to work in something called 9 to 3 and also wanting to do that, that was like a blessing. Suddenly I thought it would be hell, but in a way it was just like, okay, I know I have this frame and I have to let go of whatever's outside, and I have to just be present in this frame. And then if I don't make it today, then I have another day tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
But like, it was really like very positive for me to be forced to work with this very specific frame that most people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely don't think it's like easier to be freelancer as a mom. I mean, yeah. as a parent in general. I think like in some ways having this frame like we do here can also be a good thing. Yeah. Because I can, in theory, maybe I don't manage, but I can leave work and go home and have a set timing. I don't need to kind of use my own creativity or you know my full brain in the evenings to think about what's happening the next day because it's already planned for me. So that I think has been a good thing.
And you're off. When you're actually off, then
yes, exactly.
You leave this
building. Yeah,
I'm
not always off.
No. No, exactly.
No, exactly. Neither am I. So it's a lot of, okay, I didn't get this done. I have a deadline. Do I then work in the evening? And that is very much letting go of, maybe she sleeps. Then I get a lot of work done. Maybe she doesn't sleep. Mm-hmm. Then, as you say, Nana, then I have another day tomorrow. So it's also like changing the mindset of what's your own ambition at work.
Yeah. And also, I think that ambition changes when you become a parent. Mm. Because I think, like, in a way, before, I was thinking that career-wise or work-wise, if I was performing my best there, then everything else would work out. And I think that kind of mentality has changed for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like now I know that I can't push myself too hard on a personal level because then I won't be like I won't be my best in my family and I also won't be my best in my work so that you know kind of limit you put to yourself that you actually know like I can't just you know everything that lacks I can't just take it from me like I also have to like gain something which is sometimes peace and quiet or like to relax and restore and you know that's like part of my work because if I don't prioritize that then I can't do anything and that was really hard for me to learn
And I mean, it's also hard, must be hard from a point of like in my job it becomes very often like okay this is the bar I can set and then I can set it higher or lower but this is still doing the job fine enough but as an artist it's also very much your personal ambitions like where's the bar can you say okay I'm going to put the bar at a different setting to get back into it to be able to also have time to restore.
It's not like I think the bar is lower on an artistic or professional level. It's just the way to get there is very different.
Yeah, not necessarily lower, but different.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like I had a lot of, like I had endless hours to get to my goal before. And I could always, you know, take whatever resources that was needed. I could take it from myself. And now I just know that, like, I have the same goal, but I need to, like, sometimes the way, the direct and easiest way to get there is not just like working my ass off. Sometimes, like my way of working has changed. It's become more focused and more like administered better. And also, I feel like I've realized that resting or like being good, kind to myself is like part of that work. It's an important part of that work. It's not something I do outside of work. It's like also part of reaching your goal.
Makes totally sense because I'm really happy you say that because often you say, like, if you're a mom or whatever, then you have to sacrifice something. And it's actually, as you say, it's a blessing that you can actually monitor yourself in being like, focus time. You know, like I have 4 hours here, okay, make the best out of it and then we roll. I think it's really nice you say that.
Yeah, it's about like being more efficient in your way towards the goal, I think.
Exactly.
It's about not stopping to eat the berries, but you have an apple and you eat it while you go directly in a way. Yeah. Mm. Like there is less time to reconsider. Maybe should I have gone this angle or this angle? Like it's like and that I feel is a great thing that I've learned
And how is that for you, Vanita? Yeah.
Because it's different now because Nana is self-employed and has the luxury also, which is fantastic to kind of like monitor the day and stuff like that. You've been in a company where everything is set for you. Mm. Like, how is that? You know, do you feel it's...
Yeah, I mean, some periods definitely easier than others. It's easier when we're in Copenhagen, naturally. You know from touring.
On the road.
It's hard, yes.
Yeah,
especially like we don't have any family in Denmark, no grandparents, no. So it's basically my colleagues are my babysitters.
Babysitters, yeah.
Can you bring your child on tour?
I mean, in theory, I guess, but we have not done that because it's somehow it's been just easier for daddy to be home. And he has a bit more flexibility at work now, thank God. So that has helped us a lot because he used to be an artist as well. And that, I mean, he still is.
And then there are periods where you're away quite a lot on tour. And how is that than being away from your child?
It's quite hard. But I also try to find positive things in that because I get some me time. That sounds very selfish. But I think it's something about finding appreciation in what you have, because I think it's also a wonderful thing to be able to travel and rediscover and be around people
and I guess a lot of people that would want that have normal in quotation marks jobs from 9 to 5 who never get that kind of me time.
Yeah, and it also means having some weekdays off, maybe coming back having a Wednesday, Thursday off, being able to keep her home from institutions and having, you know, going to Tivoli when not everybody else is there and these a bit more.
You need to find the hacks.
Yes, exactly.
Sure. As artists, you feel more powerful becoming mothers. Nana?
Do I feel more powerful?
Powerful. Yeah, you feel that you have a more grounding.
Feel it gives more meaning and more perspective. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's not to say that you don't have that if you don't have children.
No,
I mean?
No.
It's just like, for me personally, it definitely has given some perspective that... I like on a deep level emotionally when I, you know, write, when I write lyrics or music or when I like, I think it's like given some extra level of what you can lose and like how much you can love and how like selflessly you can love, you know, like it's definitely just expanded the emotions that were already there in a way. So I guess in that sense the palette has increased.
I can relate to all of that. There is just more depth to my way of feeling and relating to myself and my body and my way of expressing.
Can you feel that your artwork is changing?
Yeah.
Or do we approach it differently?
Definitely. I think it's more in the approach, maybe more so than the actual outcome. It's maybe more the mindset behind the way into things. Like, of course, some things I could maybe do better before. It's not
what
about...
What do you mean do better?
No, yeah. Well, better is also...
I mean from a technical point
of
view?
From a technical point of
more,
view?
I could put more time into my body. I think it's more that because, you know, as a dancer, you do spend time before class. You do spend time after work. You need to roll out. You need to, you know, go to the sauna, go for dips in the ocean to cool down afterwards. And those things I don't really have time for anymore because I need to go pick up or I need to deliver before and there is food to be made, and you know, there's all these extra things that before I could much more kind of put all the energy, not everything, but at least
most
much
of the
more
focus,
into you know, recovering the body and healing injuries and
because your body is your main work tool.
Yeah, exactly. So I get to see less performances. I get to you know, do less of these extra things that we know. Make a difference. So in that way, maybe it's not like that. It's less good, but it's just it's different. Something's better, something's worse.
Sure. Yeah. Can you relate to that, Anna?
Yeah, definitely. Like I've definitely like something that I have to, you know, I've been forced to put a lot of thought into is like definitely planning of tours and long days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't just like the way I did before go on a 3-week tour. Or I can, but I don't want to, you know, and that's the difference.
Do you bring your children or did you?
Yes, I have decided because we are also, my husband is also a musician and he's also self-employed. So we very much have to be creative with our kids. And we like, I definitely have a very high, you know, ambition for like giving them stability and like routines. And, but I also just have to like, I just have to accept the fact that that's not the root of our everyday, you know? So, so we just try to see it as a positive thing and not a negative thing that will disrupt their lives. But like, we try to see it as like, okay, we'll bring them to the things that are fun enough to bring them. And then we try not to bring them to the boring long stuff that goes out into the night. But every time we can bring them where we feel like, okay, there's actually a bit of magic we can offer to them in this situation. We do that. And they are so like, I can just tell how they are getting so much, you know, positive in relation to like, they know to be quiet when like, even though the youngest is just 4, they know to be quiet when we are on stage. They know not to go in. Like then sometimes we make little like, in this song, you can come in and do this. Like, so we give them little like things, little challenges.
So they're part of it?
Yeah, they're part of it. And they also like, my oldest son who's 8, he gets like a little pocket money if he helps us pack the gear afterwards. And he loves it. He's so proud.
And other homes, he, like, people
he
do
wears
the dishes.
A big base. And
that's nice.
Exactly. But it's just very cute to see like how you can turn it into some like a learning experience and something that will definitely give them a lot of positive stuff instead of just seeing it as something like, oh, now we have to bring them out and oh, they can't, like they'll be tired tomorrow or how do we, you know, how do we even get dinner at the time they usually eat? And, you know, instead of like just getting like wiped out by all the practical questions, then just see it as a positive gift that you're giving them. And I can see that they thrive in it.
They enjoy,
and they're used
no?
to, yeah, and they're used to being with many different people and talking to strangers. And so I definitely see it as a strength as long as it's not like a, you know, rule that this is the constant, but it's something you can kind of like adjust.
Yeah.
Do you know how that your kids feel about seeing you perform? Question for both of you.
They are very relaxed about it. Like, it, particularly the oldest one, like, he couldn't care less. But he loves being on stage and he's not afraid of, like for him, being on a stage is just like being in the living room. Like, he's so used to coming with me and being, seeing me on a stage that he's like, he doesn't even notice barely. Only if something's really good, then he will look. So he's always he's also like a quality filter.
That's cute.
But you know, and on the show we did together, The 7 Deadly Sins.
Yeah.
He was really provoked that I was doing the fuck sign. He was like, "Mom, you didn't do that. You're not supposed to do that." I'm like, "I'm sorry, I know.
It's my character."
But he didn't come back home and say, "Oh, now I'm going to do it because you do."
No, he was like embarrassed.
Okay. Oh.
Well, we have a fuck finger on our wall at home that I painted, so I guess all the rules are out the window. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. My daughter always asks, like, after a performance, like, "When is it my turn?" Because like when the audience leave, it's like it's her
when
turn.
Yeah. Exactly.
She usually just runs around like crazy, but
on the stage,
it's like it's her moment.
Yeah,
it's very beautiful. Yeah.
Does she like to see you perform, or does she doesn't?
Yeah.
She's
she
very
does.
Quiet.
She's super quiet, very focused, and she reflects a lot in the coming days. And there's a lot of questions, and I love to discuss with her afterwards, like, what is she seeing? Because, you know, sometimes it's dark, it's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's lots of impressions, like strong music, and you see people, you know, behaving towards each other physically that you don't see on the street. And
yeah.
And it's, I think it's, it definitely affects her. But I think it's, I think like you said also, like, I'm just so happy to be able to give her that sort of experience also, yeah. Seeing, you know, stage life from all angles.
Mm. Yeah, and also seeing the normality in it, that it's not like, for us, it's not, well, it's magic for us every night, but it's not like something, like, it is something we do and train for and work for every day. And they see us before show, they see us sitting in the backstage being silly, and you know, they just see the whole thing, they see the people pulling the curtains and doing the lights and the sound, and I think it's very nice that they actually see how this whole thing works in a not so like hyped romantic way.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And also, they get very close to your colleagues, and I mentioned that colleagues also friends. Are there any other children? Are there other kids that are walking around backstage that they get to meet, or are they then the kids that get the solo attention in adult world, so to speak?
I'm actually really, like, now talking about it, I'm so grateful that I'm able to bring my kids to work and have them be part of it, not as my audience, you know, but like as a natural part of my whole life. And I kind of like feel bad for people who can't bring their kids to work. You know, like, we should all have like kids to work days.
Yes.
Because I think it's actually really nice for kids to see their parents in their natural habitat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Just and they as know, mom and dad, or, yeah. you know, like, it's very important.
And they know what you're doing. That's and that is a part of you.
Yeah.
My dad, he did something with computers. It's this very abstract thing.
Yeah.
What is that?
Exactly.
No, I love, actually, when sometimes I sit with Noor in the audience and we talk about what's going on, and she has a whole, when she analyzes the pieces, it's really funny.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and
amazing.
We talk about, like, what is it?
It's
like,
a whole narrative.
It's
and
fantastic.
Are,
it's fantastic and, to hear their perspective. It's really fun. Do you also get, like, help from your kids when you're writing songs and stuff?
No, I don't get help, but they do like let me know their honest opinion.
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, not that dreamy song. That's the White Night song. They're like, not dreamy. You sing the same thing all over.
And they're very honest in their criticism.
Yeah, they're very honest. And then there are some other songs that they really like that they want me to sing. And then there are some, you know, like, they couldn't care less about Julefeber. They didn't the show. But like when they realized that all their friends were singing it, they were like, did you actually sing this song? Like, they didn't even see the show.
Well, I mean, I had to say hi from my daughter because I said I was going to meet you today here. And she said hello from your biggest fan.
No,
because Julefeber is on repeat at home. And we all love it. But she especially, it's like, it's her song.
I
it's her
not
song.
Love Julefeber. No, I never listened to it.
I love the choreography and everything. I loved it. It was so nice. What is the reason why you said yes? Because it was at the Royal Theater.
Yeah, actually it was. It was. And actually I wrote it while Ernst was in my belly and I was very like pregnant. I think I wrote it in end of July because, you know, you always do the Christmas songs in the summer before it comes out. I turned it over end of July and I gave birth 8th of August. So I actually remember struggling a bit like singing that recording because I was so big. I could barely stand up.
That's not good for singing, right? Sitting down is not, I mean, you have to kind of like more lift yourself more.
Yeah, you just have to like have access to air.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of woo woo.
Yeah. And then you make that art. Then it was the touch
exactly.
on that.
Exactly. That's the beauty of it. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Amazing, fun. Yes. What was your newest favorite? Noor is your daughter. Mm-hmm. What was her favorite piece that she saw you do that she remembers?
That's a good question. I'm not sure, actually. That's a really tricky question. I mean, it's usually not me that she's so into. She's into Lucas.
Lucas.
Always.
Everybody,
everybody loves Lucas.
One of our colleagues.
Lucas, I get it. But it's like everything Lucas does, it's like it's always all about
iconic.
Lucas. Iconic.
But it is. Let's be honest.
I mean,
she works with Lucas too.
Yeah. We all love Lucas.
Our dancer, Lucas Happenwell, is also in the company.
Exactly. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Amazing.
He's a role model, basically. Yeah. And
that's a good
favorite babysitter.
Yeah, he hasn't babysat, but it's mostly Kristin and Jess, also dancers here with the company. I mean, Kristin just had her baby herself, so
yeah,
she's off the list. But maybe I'll add Lucas to the list then.
Now it's official.
Yeah.
Are there some things we didn't touch so much upon that is anything that is harder as an artist where you think, oh, there's like some structural things that you would like in society to change, or like the recognition of artists as parents?
I mean, of course, in institutions, it's not always a lot of flexibility.
So because you have rehearsals until quite late.
Sometimes very late. And maybe it's rehearsals in the daytime, sometime off, and then it's performances in the evenings also. Split days, hard. Maybe different now having a child in school. All of a sudden it's more set than kindergarten was actually easier. All of a sudden I can feel now.
And you don't have the same flexibility to take holidays whenever you want.
No, exactly.
They are quite set.
Yeah, it's all quite set. So, but I feel already, you know, with our new artistic director, there has been more.
Who's also a mother.
She's also a mother, which is a massive difference.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody who understands, you know, the everyday struggles, the, you know, the small things that makes a big difference. Especially in like institutional life, I think has been a big change. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, more time off. It's not that necessarily. It's more an understanding of, you know, the puzzle that goes into making it happen. And then when it just doesn't work, you know, there is an understanding of why. Mm. You don't feel guilty. I don't feel guilty in the same way, maybe.
No. I think that's probably like one thing that has concerned me is just like the view on like mothers in particular who are like physically very, you know, attached to their child in the beginning, like it, and for a long time, like not just while you're breastfeeding, but like for a long time. And I think there's like this whole kind of like expectation that you just have to be like working as if nothing's changed, where you really, I think it would be nice if society was kind of like a little more patient with like the miracle that like there's a bond here that we have to like cherish and nurture. And it takes longer than just like the Basel, the 6 months or 9 months or 12 months Basel, but that there would be more flexibility. And kind of like if society saw it as an investment, like after you come back from Basel, there should be like a flexibility period where you can like, you know, kind of like do what you have to do in order to like not just be like to be present with your new person that you're bringing up to live in this world and like see it as like a really like a commodity, something really important and precious, and then be more patient with like, okay, maybe this person is not coming back to, you know, 100% for like 3 years.
Or as you said previously, it's not about doing a lower bar, but it's a different approach. And personally, I'm so grateful that there are artists who are also mothers, because there is other art coming out, some of it directly, some of it may be more subtle. But I've found that very, very good to mirror myself in. So I think it's we gain also a lot of society. So
yes,
for sure.
Is there any advice that you would give other pregnant artists or artists who are considering to become parents, things that you would have love to know?
I guess my advice is that you are already creative because you are doing what you're doing. Mm. So you are going to be able to be creative with this crazy job being a mom. Mm. You know, and you have to be that. Like, you have to be creative with it and not just like doing how everyone else is doing. Mm. Because that doesn't apply to our work and our mm-hmm. lifestyle. Mm. So just use your advantage of being a creative human being and be creative with being a mom and an artist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well said. Manette.
Yeah. Don't be scared about it. It's more beautiful than it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can agree. Agree. Completely agree. Amazing.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming and sharing your personal stories. I think this has been super inspiring, and we can't wait to send this out to our listeners.
No, I'm going to thank you so much. Kick-ass women so here in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Det var Nanna og Margrethe, vi havde i studiet. Mm. Det var super spændende at snakke med dem, og vi fortsatte jo faktisk også lidt, fordi vi var så glade for, at Merete ikke fødte.
Ja, det var vi meget glade for. Det havde altså været meget mindeværdigt, at hun havde født under vores podcast. Men jo, nej, vi fortsatte jo lidt med i forhold til, hvordan det er at faktisk at føde, for det får man jo tit at vide, når som kvinde, så når min fødsel var sådan, og får man masser af gode råd og sådan noget, ikke? Og så fik vi lige snakket med Nanna om, at jeg spurgte ham, om hun havde kunne bruge sin sangtræning. Så sagde hun jo, at det var faktisk min dansetræning, jeg kunne bruge, fordi jeg kunne ligesom overgive mig selv til smerten og bare være i min krop. Kendskabet til min krop gjorde, at jeg ligesom kunne være i den her smerte, ikke?
Ja, så det guldkorn, det må vi altså lige citere inden for bagkant.
Ja, det gør vi. Totalt guldkorn.
Så ja, typisk kvindesnak, er der måske nogen, der vil sige, at vi ligesom bare fortsætter og pludrer derudad, men nu har vi sendt dem ud igen i verden.
Det har vi.
Og vi håber, at jer derude, der lytter med, også har nydt den her samtale, lige så meget som vi har.
Ja, og I kan fange os på de sociale medier. Skriv til os.
Ja, lad os høre, hvad I synes.
Ja.
Tak, fordi I lytter med.
Tak.
Denne podcast er produceret af Dansk Danseteater. Idé og tilrettelæggelse. Marina Mascarée, Julie Schlüter, Trine Renzi Laursen, Natalia Slot-Richter, Patricia Zeron Paulik og Anne-Sophie Gertz. Musik og masterering, Mikkel Larsen, grafik, Søren Meisner. Lydoptagelse og klip, det er mig, Anne-Sophie Gertz, og jeg var også bare mikrofonen sammen med Patricia Zeron Paulik. Vi skal sige tak til Det Kongelige Teaters Lydstudie, og tak til dig, lytter, for at du lytter med. Og abonner gerne for os, send os nogle likes, så vi kan blive ved med at udkomme på den her kanal. Thank you.